And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama, sweet home Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, I'm going to jump on in to the first part of the Triple Dipper, State House Roundup. So I'm not kidding when I say that what comes out of Montgomery, your own state capital, Montgomery, down yonder, Montgomery on that goat hill there. But yeah, right there, Boomer giving me the, that was Foghorn.
I like that. That was
Foghorn Leghorn boy. Yeah,
That's what it sounded like.
I say, come here, Belvedere, come here, boy. But anyway, but yeah, the stuff that comes out of Montgomery can have an amazingly direct impact on your day to day. So if you're not in tune with your state legislature or what's happening with them, I just want to encourage you to. So I'll be honest, when I ran for the state Senate, I thought I knew what I was getting into. I had no idea. I openly confess that I thought I was a well-read constituent. I listened to radio talk shows. I read the paper. You know, I shook hands with my legislator once in a while when I saw him at the Kiwanis Club or whatever. But I had no idea. And I got down to Montgomery and I was like, dadgum. I mean, I didn't even know where the bathrooms were in the state house yet. And I'm voting on ethics laws that changed the total dynamic of the state house. You know, we were doing things like, think about it. What determines whether you can text or drive, Montgomery or D.C.? Montgomery. What determines, major response to a tornado? Montgomery. How do you know how much you're going to pay at the pump for taxes? Well, that mostly comes out of Montgomery. What about things like, economic incentives to bring new jobs? A lot of that's Montgomery. How about your education? How about your mental health in your state? How about whatever? It's all, a lot of that comes straight out of Montgomery. So when you hear that there are people running for office, let me tell you, they are accessible. That's the first thing I'll tell you. They are accessible. I cannot stress that enough. Your state legislators, state representatives, and state senators know who they are. I can't encourage you enough for this. And then know how to reach them. And some of them are really good about responding. I used to sit there on the Senate floor next to my buddy Bill Holtzclaw, who was a state senator from right up there in Madison. And Holtzclaw and I would sit there and we would be responding to emails daily, you know, from our constituents right there on the Senate floor while we were listening to debates. And then there are some who don't do it at all. They try to you know, hide, so to speak. But most of them, they know how to respond, and you should know how to find them. What you got? Remember, you typed me a note there. What we got?
Well, on our website, remember, we have the Find Your State Elected Officials at the very bottom of our website, any page.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yep, it's there.
You are the man. You're right. Okay, hey, I tell you
that,
what.
That gives them a starting point, and then you can just Google that name, and usually it'll pull up all the phone numbers and emails and things like that.
Yeah, and it's perfect. So, all right, what he's talking about is our website is Right Side Radio. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
RightSideRadio.org. RightSideRadio.org. Tons of stuff on this website. But on the bottom of any one of the pages, there is the click here to find your Alabama state elected officials, and it'll help you to track down who represents you based on where you live. All right? And if you don't know how to reach them, if you're like, do they have an office? Some do, some don't. And I say that because these are all part-time legislators. They go down there and they make decisions on taxes and voting on the education budget and all that, but it's their part-time job, allegedly. We called it my full-time part-time job. But all that to say, they are very accessible and they're making decisions every day, and you might want to know how to work with them, deal with them, engage them in things you're concerned about. And when you do that, by the way, just do it respectfully. That's what I ask. Don't be one of those, you know, knuckleheads who sends you the, we're going to make sure you never get reelected because you didn't vote to make the official color of the state brown. You know, I saw the stupidest stuff sometimes, and there's always these threats attached to it. I'm like, okay, great. Thank you for your input. Next. And just, you know, you wind up creating more of a wall. You just call them and say, hey, State Senator so-and-so, or hey, Representative so-and-so, my name's this, and I live here, and I think you're my representative, And I got a real concern about what's happening in my school. Or have you heard about the road project? Or do you know anything about what's going on with that bill? Man, the thing that got me the most when I was in Montgomery, 8 years in the state Senate, and I'm going to tell you right now, lobbyists would come down the hall every day. Senator, could I have a moment of your time? That happened all the time. That was not what moved me. It helped sometimes. I mean, if I had a principled issue, if I had a thing like pro-life, fiscal conservatism, you know, strong defense, like, you know, dealing with our state National Guard or whatever, helping law enforcement, those were things that you couldn't move me on. But there's always going to be things you're gray on. You're a state legislator. When I was down there, I would sit on the back row of the right side of the chamber, and around me, there was a guy to my right who was a retired teacher. There was a guy to my left who was a retired Marine. There was a guy to my front who was a farmer. A guy to his left was a dentist. A guy just to the left of the retired Marine owned a restaurant. And, you know, it just these are all normal people with normal jobs. So what I'm saying is we don't know everything about everything. And so there were times when an issue was gray to me. I would look at it and go, I think I get this, but I don't know that I understand fully how it impacts everybody. And next thing you know, I'd get a phone call from a constituent who respectfully said, hey, Senator, here's the deal. Here's how it impacts my life. And it would change the dynamic. It wasn't a lobbyist that did it. It wasn't the governor asking for something. It wasn't because my caucus was trying to push for a thing. It was because a constituent back home took the time to get read up and called me. And that usually made a difference. All right. All that to say, there's stuff happening right now down yonder in Montgomery on that day of Goat Hill. One day we'll talk about why they call it Goat Hill. But anyway, it's not that sexy a story, to be honest. But anyway, the nickname for our state house, the hill where the Capitol building is Goat Hill. Things that are happening this week. You might want to know this. This is cool. 1819 News has a piece that says that it appears that efforts like this show and API, the Policy Institute, and some others to push for the grocery tax to be repealed is finally starting to make a dent. Yeah. So 1819 News reports that State Senate Pro Tem Greg Reed out of Jasper, he's the Senate Pro Tem. He says the grocery tax has gone from being something that we may not ever be able to do to that's now on top of the list. This is a big deal, y'all. I cannot tell you how much it means to hear that being said. Reed said the grocery tax has gone from, oh my goodness, we may not ever do that, to wow, that's on top of the list. In his words, he said, we got a lot of extra resources this year. We're looking at what we call four pillars. The four pillars are rebates, savings accounts for the state, investing some of the resources, and tax cuts. And on those four, he thinks that there's movement now towards the grocery tax. In fact, there was a poll. The Alabama Republican Party did a poll that came out just this past week, maybe this week, actually, and it found that Alabamians prefer a grocery tax cut over any kind of rebate check by an 83 to 17% margin. That's huge. 83% favorable on anything. You could not poll do you love your mama and get 83%. So when they're telling us that repealing the grocery tax has an 80% favorability, that's a big, big deal. All right, so State Representative Danny Garrett, who's a budget chairman out of Trustville in the State House, and State Senator Arthur Orr, budget chairman who serves out of Decatur, they have a bill. It would reduce the grocery taxes on some groceries by upwards of 3%, it would phase out over every odd-numbered year until the tax rate is zero from the state level. Now, it won't touch local taxes. So if you're worried about whether sales taxes are, you know, funding something in your area, your local taxes would still remain in place unless the city council takes, you know, some action on it. But the state sales tax of 4 cents on the dollar would be phased out. Now, how they define that, still to be determined. Got a little work to do on it. But right now, the plan is they're going to use what's called the WIC definition of food. WIC only has certain foods it categorizes. WIC is the Women, Infants, and Children's food stamp type program. And that includes eggs, milk, canned fish, juice, cheese, yogurt, fruits, vegetables, and whole grain bread. So all those things would then be tax-free. All right, it's a start. We'll take it. That's right there in your roundup for the State House right now. A couple other things you might want to know. So this one gets mixed bag. Me personally, I am not totally exercised about, you know, economic incentives depending upon how they're done. I know some of my Republicans or my conservative brethren, they get real antsy about, oh, maybe, is it corporate welfare? It's not all corporate welfare. It's corporate welfare if you give them money, all right? But if you have a new plant that wants to build in your area and they're going to put a $24 million investment in and hire 150 people, that's kind of a big deal. That brings in families. That brings in jobs. They eat more in your restaurant. They do things in your community. And then you decide as a community and as a state to give them a 10-year rebate on their taxes or, you know, void their property taxes for a period of time or whatever. Where's the problem? You can also give them free access to training their personnel through AIDT, which is a state agency that trains people for high tech and industrial jobs. So all that to say, I'm not sure why there would be a big problem with some of these incentives. Now, if you don't put what we call clawbacks in it, that's where you tell them, you can do this, but if you don't hire X amount of people by a certain date, you got to pay the state back. That kind of thing has to happen. That's responsibility. That's accountability. Nonetheless, the state House and Senate have now been passing these bills. It's the only agenda item the governor has really said she wants, and they're moving forward on the renewal of the Alabama Jobs Act and dealing with tax credits for new businesses and increasing old businesses. All right, this is all happening in Montgomery. We're going to talk about it more when we get back, and then top of the half hour, we have Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute calling in. You guys stay tuned. We got a lot more of that, where that comes from. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, here's another thing going on. We're doing number one of the Triple Dipper State House Roundup. And we got, by the way, we got two callers coming up. I think both are going to be great. Of course, Stephanie Smith is the first one. She's always great. She comes on at 3 o'clock, going to give us some of her thoughts on the State House Roundup, things she's seeing. Plus, I guarantee you, we're going to talk about school choice, because in a minute, I'll tell you about a major school choice bill that just got dropped, although I am already hearing that our current state superintendent, Ed Mackey, is just saying how this is just not a good idea. This is bad. Well, of course, now the educrats are circling the wagons. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Right now, though, you may want to know that in the realm of education, we've got a bill out there that's coming through our state legislature, State Representative Ed Oliver from down yonder in Dadeville, Republican. He's got his divisive concepts bill. The divisive concepts bill basically says we're not going to teach kids that they are wrong because they were born a certain color. How controversial can that possibly be? Well, apparently it's very controversial. And, of course, it's racist. How dare you teach against racism? That's racist to teach against racism. What? Kid? I mean, there's no winning here. Anyway, intense debate this week in the Alabama legislature, according to Yellowhammer. My friend Yaffe up in Huntsville wrote this one. The proposed law would ban the teaching of divisive topics related to race, sex, or religion, including the idea that people from any one group should be asked to feel guilty because of their race or gender. In other words, critical race theory. Don't do it. Keep it out of our schools. I'm trying to think who it was, but one of our listeners on the text line was saying that the school choice bill needs to include stuff about, you know, divisive concepts. Well, that's what I said. It's separate legislation, and here's part of it. But nonetheless, the sponsor of the legislation defended his bill in an interview on Alabama Public Television. He said it does not prevent the teaching of any history. And that's what they do. They want to tell you, you're just trying to whitewash history. You're trying to avoid having us teach about slavery. No, we're not. Nowhere in the bill does it say that. Not at all. It says don't go teaching things that, by the way, were in the environment of slavery, like, oh, I don't know, maybe you're inferior or I'm superior because of the way we're born. He says, we're all proponents of history, good, bad, and ugly. It's who we are. It's what makes us who we are. He also said schools should focus on teaching things that unite Alabamians rather than dividing them. And then, of course, a Democrat from Selma, Representative Prince Chestnut, he disagreed. He goes, he went straight to slavery. He went straight to the Confederate flag. Those are knucklehead arguments on this bill. Anyway, you got 21 Republican co-sponsors on it, and it just came out of committee in the House. In other words, the first hurdle is already over with. The bill was dropped in, and it came out of committee. It'll now go to the floor for potentially its third reading, and then hopefully on to the Senate. Here's another one, and I find this. So, Boomer, when you were in school, in high school, did y'all ever have classes like on life skills or financial literacy, that kind of stuff? Teach you how to balance your checkbook?
Nah, I don't remember that. I think there was a teacher that tried to help us with it a couple of times, but it wasn't a class.
It wasn't a class?
No.
Yeah, okay. So Yellowhammer News has got a piece here that it would make it, and the College Republicans are behind this bill, it would make it a requirement that a financial literacy curriculum is added to Alabama high school students. They have to have it in order to graduate.
I like it.
Do you?
I think it's really important for somebody to learn how to do this stuff.
Well, I do too. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I've learned some things the hard way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. take all these kids that are coming out of high school. They don't know any of that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of parents don't think to do that with their kids and teach them about the money, and then they just don't know how to handle it when they get to college
I must have more money because I have more checks in my checkbook.
Right. The importance of saving.
Yeah, all that. So, yeah, the bill has 9 subjects that would be taught, Boom, just so you know. 9, yeah. It would touch on things like bank accounts, how to handle loans and investments, principles about money management, savings, credit and debt, basic money-related computing, how to balance your checkbook, how to keep a spreadsheet if you want to, and things about how to figure out what it means to figure out your interest rates and what you're being taxed. Ooh. I mean, this is pretty legit.
That's really good.
Yeah. Your mic's not on.
That's really good. I mean, that's way better than teaching about your specific gender and all this other junk they're trying to push on us now, or the kids.
Let's see. Let's weigh this out. Let's see. You got, in one hand, you've got financial literacy, teaching them to be responsible, and on the other, you've got gender fluidity.
Make sure you talk to everyone with respect. And
inclusivity.
Inclusivity, yeah.
There's your participation trophy. Thank you for being
here.
Don't
get me on participation trophies.
All right. I got a couple things here that I won't go into because the callers calling in will be calling in about those things I won't go into. I don't know if I can say that again if I tried. But, we got Susan DeBose, State Representative Susan DeBose from down yonder in Shelby County. She'll be calling in at 3:30. And she's got the bill right now that bans transgender athletes in college sports in Alabama. And then coming up here in just a few minutes, our friend Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute will be calling in. We're going to talk about a new bill that got dropped in regarding school choice. It's called the Price Act. And I'm telling you right now, I'm for it. I am for this bill. And some of you out there that are conservatives, but you're scared of this bill because it doesn't do enough, do not for a second let the quest for the perfect outweigh the opportunity for the good. This is an opportunity for Alabama to really finally do something. But right now I'm already hearing that leadership is sort of backing off. Well, dadgummit. And we're going to talk to Stephanie Smith. She was down there for the press conference when they announced the new bill. And the Alabama Policy Institute is pushing hard for this. And I joined them in that philosophy because we need this, man. Here we are ranked pretty much last in the nation. We got states all around us that spend less per child than we do, and they rank better. That tells you something's got to change about how we spend the money, not what money we spend. All right, y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Stephanie Smith coming right back up. We'll be right back.